Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate you being back this evening as we worship again, and thank you for singing out so well. We're going to focus tonight in our time together a little bit on prayer, and we've done this before. I think I'm going to step out from this. We're going to focus on prayer tonight, and we've done this in the past, sort of having a kind of prayer service at times, and we'll turn to a familiar passage in just a moment, but someone had asked me about this morning. You know, I talked about that story of me and the guy I nicknamed Jim Bob, and someone mentioned, well, you didn't tell us the end of the story, and I was like, that's right, I didn't. And so the end of the story was, I accidentally skipped over that, the end of the story was that as I was getting upset and he was getting upset, we found out later that elder, he actually did find the keys in his bag. So that was a little bit of, not necessarily resolution, but it was some peace knowing that I didn't lose those keys. And I also told someone else, you know, that it didn't make any sense, like, you know, for me to stand up to him because he would have destroyed me. But anyway, that was a conflict that we had. And it really didn't get resolved. And that's something, to this day, that's something I should even take care of. I don't see that person. But as I mentioned, when I think of that encounter, I feel those emotions and feelings and everything. So I hope that in some way the message this morning made you think about wanting to engage in conflict for the purpose of restoring a relationship or repairing a relationship, knowing that when you do that, when you actually go through with that, it makes you closer. When you work through that, you do get closer in a relationship with someone. So tonight, I want us to think about prayer a little bit. And we're going to look, like I mentioned, in a passage that we are all familiar with. But I wanted to kind of talk about my experience with prayer and then get into the text a little bit. So, you know, I grew up in the church, and most of you know that. And I would lead prayers in the service. I would watch my dad lead prayer. I would be part of the congregational, worship, and I would see men get up and lead prayers. So I was very familiar with that. But as time went on, I had opportunities, you know, like at the nursing home to lead a prayer, and I would be in front of people that I didn't know as well. And that was a little less comfortable. You know, it's one thing when you know everyone. Someone might say the opposite. You know, when you're in front of people you know, then you're really nervous, right? But I would be at the nursing home and other places, and I would get called on at these kind of random moments to lead a prayer. And probably the one that made me the most uncomfortable, this has happened, you know, multiple times in my life, is I was so used to doing that in a service. Like, you know, here we are in worship. It's time to, you know, think about God. It's time to sing, and it's time to pray. But outside of the assembly and outside of kind of like set times for worship, I would eventually and occasionally be asked by someone to pray. And I remember the first time that someone said, could you pray for me? And I was kind of like, I didn't really know what to do in that moment, and I was nervous, and it felt a little awkward for someone to ask me to pray for them. And yet, that should really be a pretty natural thing, shouldn't it? When someone's going through anything, because people are going through stuff all the time, I know many of us in this room are, it should be a very natural thing for a Christian to stop and pray for someone. Well, you know what? I just personally didn't really see that much. I didn't really see people do that very often. I didn't see people, you know, off to the side when someone had a need, praying. Saw it at church, maybe saw it at devotionals, but I just didn't really see people doing that. So for me, that was something that was kind of uncomfortable. Now, one of the things that I have enjoyed so much being part of this church, and I like to brag on our elders because I think they're such good men and they're such good leaders. One of the most meaningful things for me being here is that the elders every week make it a point to go and visit people who are sick, visit people who aren't doing well, visit people who are discouraged. And I'm sure we miss somebody at some point. We don't always know everything. We can't read everyone's minds. We try to get to the people that we know about, and they do a great job of that. But what we do is we'll go and see someone, and we always have a prayer with them. And I have told them some of the most meaningful moments when I have felt closer to them and to people in our church and closer to God is when we're standing there holding hands, you know, grown men holding hands. I'm holding these, and they got big hands too, these, you know, old men, I'm holding their hands, and I'm praying with them, or they're leading this prayer for this person, and I'm like, there's a sense in which, man, this is kind of weird. But there's another sense in which, man, this is awesome. And I'm so thankful that we have shepherds who lead me like that, who shepherd me and guide me. And that has been something very meaningful in my life. And yet, I've had to kind of get a little more used to that. And so maybe we're used to prayer in the corporate worship sense. But let me ask you, how often do you actually individually pray with other people? It's an important question for us to consider because while prayer should be part of our assembled time together, it should really be part of our individual connection and relationships that we have with other Christians. All right? So let's look at this passage together tonight. James chapter 5. Again, this is nothing new to us, but I want us to look through the text a little bit. Notice what it says about prayer, and then we're going to pray. So let's look at the text, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And let me just read this for us. Is anyone among you suffering? This is verse 13. And if you're if you don't have a Bible, if you need a Bible, there should be one underneath your seat, and it's page 1202. Is anyone among you suffering? And as we think about the book of James, he's talking about suffering quite a bit because Christians suffering persecution, Christians going through difficult trials and tests. This is a theme in the book of James. And so here he's concluding, and it makes sense that he would kind of bring up that idea of suffering again to kind of wrap things up. Is anyone among you suffering? The answer is kind of like, well, yeah, duh, for sure, people are suffering. And what does he say do? Is anyone suffering? Then he should pray. So first of all, it's kind of like this individual thing. Are you suffering? Are you going through something difficult? Before you do anything else, you should pray. That should be my response to God. That's just me individually. He goes on, is anyone cheerful? And I don't think this is just, you know, did you have a good day? But are you in a more deep way, happy and joyful? He should sing praises to God, right? So these are our natural responses. Are you suffering? You should pray. Are you joyful? You should sing and praise God. And then it says, is anyone among you sick? And I do think specifically it's talking here about physically sick. Now, we like to maybe make this verse a little bit more palatable and say, well, this is just talking about spiritual issues. And we'll, you know, call for the elders to come and pray for them spiritually. But I do think this is talking about physical illness here. So is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So here we have this like pretty clear example that if someone is physically ill, if they have something physically wrong with them, they should call the elders and say, hey, I want you to come and pray for me and pray with me. And as I've kind of alluded to before, our elders do actually have some oil. If someone said, I want you to even anoint me with oil, well, we can do that. And then it says they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I think that phrase right there is important because this is not necessarily about, elders being any better or more spiritual men than anyone else. But it's that when they do come as shepherds and as guides and as pastors and leaders of a church, that they pray in the Lord, that this is God's power working in this situation. And so as we read that, it says this is the result. This is maybe the part that, I don't know, some people shy away from. The prayer offered in faith, again, not the prayer, you know, of how spiritual the elders are, how good men they are, but the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So This is sort of like, I guess in a way, like a proverb of sorts, in the sense that I don't know that this is a tried and true type of thing, that if you go and pray for someone who's sick, like if our elders go and do that, they're guaranteed to get better. I've actually heard Tommy Hodge talk about one of the most, he taught the young adult class for a while, and he said one of the most difficult things as an elder is to go and visit someone and pray for them, and then they don't get better, and that they get worse, and they pass away. That's a hard thing. So this is not a guarantee that this will happen, but at the same time, I believe the Lord can heal anybody. And so when we think about praying for people, we should pray, you know, not just, God, we hope you'll do something. We hope you'll, you know, maybe work this out if you can. We should pray, God, we want you to heal them, right? That's what we should pray for. And so specifically the elders praying that this person might be healed. Now, again, James is not guaranteeing that they will. This is a letter. This is a book about suffering. So we know that people are going to suffer and at times pass away. But the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Now we get to verse 16. So we've talked about, like, if you're that first there, if you're suffering, you should pray to God. If you're sick, you should call on the elders to pray for you. And then this next example, this is all about prayer. It says, therefore, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And let me just talk about that word or phrase right there, righteous man. Again, I don't think this is like, well, let's pick the most righteous person in the church to pray for us because he's going to get across to God better than someone who's not, okay? But I do think the idea here is that in some sense, when we are right in our relationship before God, of course God, you know, the whole debate, does God hear sinners? Yes, of course God does. Of course God hears that. But a person who is in tune with God, a person who is faithful, a person who is righteous before the Lord, it's effective when they pray because God's listening, God's paying attention. Now, this is what I want us to think about for the next few moments. I think that what James is encouraging the church to do here is to be a word that I don't think that we're very good at. This morning we talked about conflict and how that's difficult and how we should work through conflict. We should try to repair our relationships. But here I think James is calling us to be this word. And we need to, as Christians, become more comfortable with this word. He's calling us to be vulnerable. He's calling us to be vulnerable because think about it. He says, confess your sins to one another, right? Which is not something that I've found that most Christians really want to do. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, right? So in this particular instance, I do think we're talking about spiritual sickness. We're talking about sin, right? So as I think about that, that's just not something that I've seen very much in the church. I just haven't seen many people willing to open up and confess sins, to open up and talk about their lives and to pray for one another. I've seen the corporate, okay, we're going to have a prayer and we're very generic. But the idea of someone actually getting together with someone else and being vulnerable enough to say, this is what's going on in my life. This is where I'm at. These are the sins that I'm struggling with, and I need someone else to know about this. I need someone to pray with me, and I want you to know this is my struggle. Can you pray with me about this? Now, that's not to slap us all on the wrist and to say we're not doing what we should be, but I think that we need to really consider maybe this missing piece of us being closer together. So you talk about conflict. When we embrace that, we get closer. I really believe that if we can learn to become vulnerable with each other and actually open up and talk about our lives and confess sin and pray for one another, that we would be a lot closer, a lot more united than we've ever been. Because, again, James is speaking to not only suffering, but he's speaking to people who have pride issues. If you notice in chapter 1 and 2, he's dealing with people who neglect other people. He's dealing with people, and he's saying to them, you know, don't forget the widows and orphans. You know, don't overlook these people in need. He's really encouraging the church to be the kind of people that they see themselves as on the same playing field. So, again, This is a message, of course, for them, but for us to think about, can I be the kind of person who, even though it's a little awkward, even though it's a little uncomfortable, to get to a place where I stop and I learn to pray with people? Now, let me finish, and I'm going to come back to this, but verse 17 says Elijah was a man, and James has referenced different people from the Old Testament, and here he brings up Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You know, here's this guy that maybe we think, oh man, Elijah, what a great guy, what a faithful guy, what a man of faith. And he's saying he's just a human. He's just a guy. He's just a dude, right? With a nature like ours, he prayed earnestly to God that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so the point is, here's an example of someone who asked God for something, and he prayed earnestly, and he really believed that God would do it, and it happened. Again, this is not a, it's always going to work out the way that we want it to, but the point is, when we pray, we should pray earnestly and in faith. That I'm banking on God being able to do what I'm asking him to do. I'm not just saying it thinking that, you know, he's really not going to. And James actually talks about that, I think, in chapter 1 as well. So then verse 19 says this, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, that's how the book ends. And that may seem like a strange ending, but we're talking about praying through suffering. We're talking about praying through illness. And here, it mentions praying for each other's sins. And then at the end, he says, if someone turns away from God, turns away from the truth, and you can bring them back, think about how much good you've done. Well, the only way that that really makes sense to me is that we're talking about this context of being vulnerable with each other. I mean, I'm not going to help someone come back to faith. I'm not going to help steer someone back toward God if we don't have some kind of relationship where we're talking about our problems and our lives and our issues, and we can pray together and confess our sins together and be vulnerable with each other. That's not going to happen, right? So for him to end on that, it makes more sense. I used to think, well, that's kind of a strange thing to say at the end of this, but I really think it's quite fitting for him to say, you know, you should pray when you suffer. You should call on the elders when you're sick. You should pray for one another about your sins. And then he says, if someone turns away, if you can bring them back, you've saved a soul. You've covered a multitude of sins. It's like, wow, if we're that close to each other, that's something that's actually quite possible to do. So here's kind of the challenge that I want to give us tonight. I have not done a good job of this in my own life, as I've talked about. I have often told people when they're going through something difficult and they have been somewhat vulnerable with me, when they have opened up, I have often made this big mistake, and I'm really working on it. I'm working on this in my own spirituality, in my own accountability with other people. And I hope you notice that when I'm encouraging us to do something, I'm encouraging us to do something. I really try to bring that around to me, because I don't ever want to be a person who, you know, preaches at people, because I'm preaching to me. And that is, I have often made the mistake when someone's going through something difficult of saying, well, I'll definitely pray for you, and then I never do. I don't know if you're in that boat as well, but I have had many moments where I have listened to someone, I said, I'll pray about that, and then I go off to do everything, again, that I've got going on, completely forget about it, never pray about it. And that's something I want to change in my own life. And so I want to take us sort of to the next level with that, and that is something that I've tried a few times that, again, of course was beneficial for that person, but it really helped me in my relationship with God as well, and that is, in moments when people are discouraged, in moments when people are emotional, in moments when people have shared something very personal in their lives, I think it's the best and most fitting time to not say, I'll pray for you later and hope that you do. But the more fitting response is to pray with them right then. To go ahead and just pray about it in that moment. And it's so much more powerful and it's so much more consistent with you saying, I'm going to pray for you. You just go ahead and do. And so that's really the idea that I want to think about with you tonight, that as we consider prayer, it's great for us to have this in a service. But here's my encouragement to you. Pray with people, not just for them. Pray with people, not just for them. Because you may have a much better memory than I do. You may have a process that you go through. But I think it makes a lot more sense. It's a lot more biblical. It's a lot more relational. It's a lot more vulnerable. It's a lot more like Jesus for us to stop and actually pray with a person. And what if we could be a church where when someone is experiencing some difficulty, we don't just put them on the prayer list, but we have people stopping in the hallways. We have people in this auditorium. We have people wherever we are, you know, in restaurants, and we're stopping and we're praying with people in little groups. We're just praying and praying and praying with people, not just for them. I don't know about you, but I think that's powerful. And I think it would be powerful for all of us to experience that, but also powerful for people to see that, right? To pray with people and not just for them. Now, here's something I want to share with you that I think could be helpful. And that is something for your phone. Because I think some people try to use a prayer journal at times, and that's a great idea. I have never really kept up with those well. But one thing I do have on me at all times is my phone, right? I've always got my phone. And I'm thinking about people that need to be prayed for. I'm forgetting them. I might write it down and then I forget. But here's something I think would be helpful for us. This is called the Echo Prayer app. And this may seem like something you know, would never do, but their kind of motto is, we want to help you pray without ceasing, right? We want to help you pray as you're on the go. So again, this is something that for those of us who are always, you know, on the go, always mobile, always multitasking, we've got our phone with us. And sometimes the most convenient thing would be to get out your phone and use it to remind yourself of who needs prayer, who you've talked to. So when someone shares that, you know, they need prayer, you plug that in your phone and save it. You're able to set up reminders for yourself. It's not telling you what to do. You're telling it to tell you what to do, right? So you're setting up reminders. Oh, yeah, I need to pray right now for this person. You can actually set it up to where you've got a list that's shared with people where you've got four or five different people and you're all praying for specific individuals or families. And so I think this is a great thing with technology just for us to consider how to be more consistent when we do tell people, hey, I'll pray for you. At least for me, I think this is something that would be helpful. So I wanted to share that with you. You can download that. And I believe it's free. I probably wouldn't have told you otherwise. I believe it's free. But this is just a great tool to help us keep up with people and to remind us throughout the day to pray for them. And if you have a question about that later, I'd be glad to talk to you about it. But that's just something kind of practical. But here's what I'd like for us to do. Think about this question for a moment. What can we pray about for you right now? If you go to our prayer list, it's pretty overwhelming. It's pretty big. There's so many people we need to pray for. And that's something that all of us, you know, from time to time need to look at and think about, you know, who is being overlooked here? Who is someone that's not being noticed and we need to pray for them? But what I'd like us to do for the next few moments is this. In our Thanksgiving service, we took a couple of minutes and we were a little bit closer together up here in these rows. But I ask everybody to look at the person beside them or get close to people beside them and ask them the question, you know, what are you thankful for now that you used to not be thankful for when you were, you know, younger or growing up? And we kind of talked through that, and that was something a little bit, you know, different that we did. Well, I'd like to do something different again. Instead of us just praying for each other or having one individual to come up here and pray, which we'll do here in a moment, I want us to take a moment and pray with each other. So as weird as that may seem to you, I want us to just take a moment and ask this question: what can we pray about for you right now? So if you'll humor me as we kind of work through this for the next 5-10 minutes, I would like for you to get close to the people around you and ask a man around you to lead a prayer. And I want everyone to ask this question or answer that question: what can we pray about for you right now? And if you're just absolutely uncomfortable with that, you're like, man, I'm not praying with anybody. Kind of a weird thing for a Christian to say. But if you're completely opposed to that, then you can sit and just, you know, pray by yourself. But I just want to encourage us all to take a moment and pray with each other. So if you will, kind of group up and kind of find a group. If you need to get up and hop over to someone else, let's take the next 10 minutes or so and pray with each other. And then when we finish and you're done praying, if one group takes a little longer, it's okay. If you hear another group talking, it's okay. But let's do that. And then when everybody's finished praying, I'm going to wrap us up in a prayer for everyone, and then we'll sing our invitation song. So if you can bear with me and kind of do this, even though we haven't done it before, I'd really appreciate us taking this time to pray with each other. So go ahead and group up however you want to do it. If it takes us 2 minutes to figure that out, that's okay. But let's pray with each other, and they're going to cut off my mic, and I'm gonna go pray with somebody as well. Okay, let's go ahead and take a moment to pray together collectively. I hope that was meaningful to you. It was good for me to hear from our little group right here. I hope that maybe you were able to share something that you wouldn't hear something you wouldn't typically hear. And talk to people maybe that sometimes you sit close to and you just kind of leave. It's good for us to stop and pray with each other. So thank you for participating in that and being a part of that. I'll just mention a few comments from our group and then say a prayer. There's a lot of people who need prayers, and I think Mr. Jerry and Ms. Sherry need our prayers right now for their health. But they both mentioned that Ms. Sherry mentioned that she has kept a prayer journal for a long time, and every time she needs it, it's not with her. She leaves it at home or something. And so, you know, again, maybe that app could help you with having your phone on you. And then Mr. Jerry mentioned that on Facebook, you know, he'll see people asking for prayer, and he just prays right then. And I was just like, that's great. You know, just pray right then for that person. And then Mr. Fred, one of our former elders, mentioned that, you know, with the eldership, as they have gone to be with people and pray with people, and they've anointed people with oil, God has done some powerful things, things that he just wouldn't have believed. And so again, when we pray earnestly and when we pray in faith, God responds. So thank you for praying together. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll have our invitation song for tonight. God, we thank you for our church family. We thank you that you want to hear from us. We thank you for prayer. And I pray that you would be with each one of us as we interact with people on a daily basis, as we have opportunities to show our faith. And I pray that you would give us courage to start praying with people in moments where they are discouraged or down or suffering, and not just to pray for them, but to pray with them and be a church that stops, because that is such an important thing, that we press pause and we decide to pray right in that moment. Lord, help us in our faith. Help us to believe that you can come through, that you can do things that we can't imagine, that you are faithful and that you are able to help us in our needs. Thank you for this time that we've had tonight to consider our prayer and prayer lives and our prayers with each other, and help us to grow in that. Help me to grow in that. Help us to be people who believe in the power of prayer as you work in it and through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So what can we pray about for you right now? I hope you answered that question. I hope you'll think about that this week. Maybe there's a person that you could really encourage by praying with them. And if we can pray for you, again, if you need something from our church family, we want to offer the invitation of Jesus to you to help you in any way that we can. We're going to sing this song. And if you have a need, we're here for you. So please come as we sing together.